This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And now the main course, where we talk about the best part of a dinner party, the food.
Enrico, you know when you're at a restaurant and you order a bottle of wine and the waiter shows up with it and offers you a sip first?
Yes, they don't do that with beer. You ever notice?
You're right. That seems unfair.
I don't like it.
But I didn't speak with a beer critic. I spoke with the New York Times wine critic, Eric Asimov, who recently wrote about a Manhattan restaurant called Italienne that serves wine in a totally different way. Okay. So I wanted to learn more, and I lured him to our studio by promising we could drink Beaujolais while we talked.
That's a classic journalism move.
That's right. I learned that from watching All the President's Men. And first I asked Eric to run through how a bottle of wine would typically be presented.
This ritual of taking the taste is meant to see if the wine is flawed in any way, if it's marred by cork taint, which is maybe the most common kind of flaw.
And so is it fair to say the initial ritual was make sure the bottle is not flawed, but has expanded to be, do you like the wine? And if you don't like it, oh, there it goes.
There it is.
If you don't like it, a restaurant may take it back and say, we don't want you to be drinking four glasses of something you're not into.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not as if the restaurant is going to lose money on the deal. There are all kinds of things they could do. They could serve that bottle by the glass at the bar.
And make a lot of money.
And make a lot of money because they always price the by-the-glass wine above the by-the-bottle wine. Or they could use it to educate their staff, which is always useful. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a win-win situation.
But for the layman, when you're tasting that wine, so this moment right now, here we can pour a little bit. Fantastic. Thank you. What a civilized afternoon. Cheers.
Cheers.
I don't think we should cheers yet because I'm tasting it. What would I be doing if you had just served this to me? And I want to check if it's flawed.
Well, you know, often you don't even have to taste it. So I can take a sniff, and anybody who's enjoyed a Beaujolais can probably sniff this and say, you know, that smells like a good Beaujolais,
so it's
okay.
Yeah, and then you're going to sip?
Then I would take a sip. If I wanted to be, I don't say this is pretentious, but some people might. I do the little swirl in the sniff and then swirl it around the mouth to get the full effect of the flavors, and I would say, that's good.
We'll take it.
Yes.
All right. So you recently wrote about how one restaurant in New York is getting rid of this traditional tasting process. Tell me who's doing this and why.
The sommelier, Erica O'Neill, has noticed in past jobs that this moment of tasting for the consumer is always a little bit fraught with anxiety. The spotlight is on you. If you're not sure what you're supposed to do there, it can feel really awkward.
Yeah.
She's seen how it makes people anxious and wondered if we really need to put people through that. So her solution was to completely omit this tasting moment and just pour the wine after she had checked whether it was flawed or not.
Mm-hmm.
What she's saying is that the whole ritual of serving wine has been done in the same way for a very long time.
Yeah.
And maybe it's time for us to rethink it, to ask questions about it. And, and she's absolutely right. If the result is to cause anxiety for consumers, what can we do to alleviate that?
Yeah. Well, there's also with wine, you know, you are a wine expert. You write about wine. But there, I think it's also one of those hobbies. When do you really get to show your stuff? You know, if you're reading up on wine all the time, you can talk to your collector buddies online. But at that restaurant moment with whoever you're visiting, that's an opportunity for you to kind of show your goods. And now it's being short-circuited.
Well, you know something? That's one of those unpleasant moments in the ritual when you have some guy, it's always a guy who wants to show off how much he knows.
Yes.
And he sends back the wine just to demonstrate he can do it.
Yeah. So those arrogant diners aside, what is the best way to send back a bottle of wine for people who maybe aren't wine snobs?
First of all, when you have a flawed bottle, there's no question it's got to go back.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not sure, but you're wondering whether it is, ask the sommelier to take a taste. If it's just something you don't like, it depends on whether the restaurant recommended that bottle of wine to you. I often tell people the best way to order a wine is to ask for help. Tell them your budget and be honest about it. there's nobody better equipped than the sommelier to recommend a bottle to go with the food you're ordering, and they know how everything tastes, so they have a good idea, and they want you to be happy. If you've asked for a recommendation and it's really not something that's up your alley, say something, and most restaurants will be happy to take it back.
Well, I accept this wine. Thank you.
It's very good, isn't it?
It is. Cheers. Thanks for coming by. New York Times wine critic Eric Asimov, Enrico, true story.
All right.
After that conversation, I set down the remaining part of that bottle of wine in the staff kitchen.
Uh-oh.
And when I got back 20 minutes later, on a weekday afternoon, it was empty.
And this surprised you somehow?
It was a little shocking.
That's like leaving a steak in a wolf den.